Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 247, the stanzas 1, 2, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, and what follows. Psalter 247, the stanzas 1, 2, and 6. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 2. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And now we have received, and not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, and not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Our Lord, Thou who reignest in the heavenly heights, clothed with honor and with majesty, Thou art of pure eyes to behold evil, and Thou canst not look on iniquity. Then Thou seest and directeth all things here upon the earth. Then Thou lookest into the inner recesses of our hearts. And then as such a holy and a majestic God, when Thou lookest upon Thy world, which Thou hast created so perfectly, and the jewel of creation, Adam and Eve, where they were given to walk in that sweet communion, the high praises of God were in their mouth, and now it has all been ruined by sin. Then it is recorded in Thy holy word, when Thou wast looked upon the first world, when their wickedness is greatly increased, when the imagination of the heart was only evil continually, that it repented the Lord, that He had made the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. When Thou lookest upon this earth, then Thy name is dishonored, Thy day desecrated, the precious institution of marriage despised by so many, and that so many unborn are murdered, Lord. Then we must say the crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. May there be souls amongst us on the Sabbath day that have learned that they grieve Thee so often when they were unconverted, but even deeper yet, after receiving so much good and so much grace, and then to grieve Thee still. Lord, we are living in a day of trouble, where Thou art visiting this earth with Thy judgments, and then Thou art speaking in a special way, and then we humbly ask Thee that under this special speaking, these special circumstances, that Thou may do a great and a special work amongst us. Thou was said in Thy word, call upon Me in the day of trouble, I will deliver Thee, and Thou shalt glorify Me, Lord. May we truly be burdened with the troublesome times. May we be troubled because of all the sins. May we be troubled because of our sin. Because alas, alas, as so many vessels that have been wrought upon by Thy Spirit, then the gold has become very dim. May these troubles be used that they may be enlivened, that they may be given to cry unto Thee, Lord, Thou knowest, it is declared in Thy word, that in the way of Thy judgments, that the wicked will not learn righteousness, But we humbly beg of thee, O come down with thy Spirit. Come down with thy power, come down with thy blood, and that thou may work lovingly and mightily in the hearts of us and our children. Then there are many fears concerning the sickness. May there be more fear concerning our sin. Many concerns concerning our daily bread, and also what this week shall hold in, it is known unto thee above all things. Wilt thou remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and to that end may in this very hour may boys and girls, may they receive a new heart. Oh, with that need to find a hiding place, grant unto our young people that good choice of a roof, that as poor sinners they may be given to choose for the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is such a good and a precious service. O wilt thou grant unto the middle-aged, we are given to see it, so much uncertainty also concerning the temporal things. It is only for a time. There is one thing needful. May the callings be used to be given to seek a city that has foundations. Wilt thou remember our elderly ones? They shall also have many fears. May they be used to grant that one thing needful. Lord, may these callings also be used that false foundations may be uncovered, and wilt thou remember thy children, may they be brought in their inner chamber, may they become guilty, may they be given to cry mightily unto thee for thy precious work in the midst of us and our children. To that end, grant the further leadings. Wilt thou bless thy holy word? Then we commend unto thee our Christian school, which is closed. Wilt thou help the teachers, the administration, the school board, under these circumstances? Wilt thou help fathers and mothers with their children, studying at home? Wilt thou be their helper ever near? Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Remember our theological school. The circumstances are also different. Wilt thou remember and help instructors and students? It may please thee that their number may even be increased. Wilt thou continue to uphold the persecuted church, take the veil off the Jewish nation, remember all mission work, also our mission field, remember thy servants, remember the team, they are also bound to their home. But may thy word still be declared. We commend unto thee the nations of the earth in these solemn and serious times. Wilt thou remember the government of this country and of this province? Wilt thou grant them wisdom and understanding? May there be among them that may daily bow their knees, asking thee for wisdom, and those that may be given to open thy word. Oh, we commend unto thee the medical field, doctors and nurses. Oh, wilt thou also watch over them, and wilt thou help them. Oh, wilt thou remember all the sick and afflicted, especially those in hospitals. Then we may thank thee that hitherto that thou wast placed a wall round about us and our children. Then we may humbly ask thee all we have to confess, that we have not deserved it. And thou hast declared in thy word, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Oh, our great responsibility. If thou would deal according as we deserve, then in this day, then we would all be sick, then we would be in hospitals, yea, then we would be in the grave. But, O Lord, may our eyes be upon thee, and if thy way shall be different, that it may be afflictions that may come forth out of thy right hand. Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care amongst us? Remember the father with that dreaded disease together with his dear wife. Grant them a special place at thy footstool. Remember all the mourning ones, especially that family that has been plunged into deep mourning. Wherein the week gone by, it has pleased thee by the hand of death to take out of their midst the beloved wife, mother, grandmother, a further family member. Ah, Lord, wilt thou uphold them in a special way. Also in this week, when we are called to go to the cemetery, may the callings be sanctified. Remember all our elderly ones, those in the care home, with those that care for them. Wilt thou remember our elderly ones at home? Wilt thou be mindful of all the lonely ones? May they be given to experience that thou art an everywhere present God. Wilt thou remember prodigal sons and daughters? Remember the member under censure, O Lord. May it please thee to grant that place of true humiliation, an upright repentance, and a crying unto thee. We now humbly ask thee that thou may grant thy gracious help in this evening hour. May thy word go forth with power divine. May it be blessed in thy house. May it be blessed in the homes. Thou wast said in thy word, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Ah, Lord, in these solemn times, leave us not cold. Leave us not untouched. Do not give over to the hardening of the heart. But may it be granted that we may be given to mightily cry unto thee. Wilt thou grant also our daily bread? Wilt thou then take away everything that could be a hindrance, Lord? May the outgoing of this service and of this day, the glory of thy name, and the coming of thy kingdom, oh, in these solemn times, may there be souls who oftentimes are given to seek a secret place and to cry unto thee, that thou may remember them with a favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name? Amen. Psalter 415, the stanzas 2 and 4. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided clearly I thy paths may see and what follows. Psalter 415, the stanzas 2 and 4. This evening hour, with the help of the Lord, Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 20, question and answer number 53. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? Answer, first, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that he is also given me to make me by a true faith a partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. Lord's Day number 20 speaks of faith in God the Holy Ghost, with three thoughts. In the first place, the glorious person of the Holy Ghost. In the second place, the gracious giving of the Holy Ghost. And in the third place, the wonderful comforting of the Holy Ghost. A faith in God the Holy Ghost. The glorious person of the Holy Ghost. The gracious giving of the Holy Ghost. And in the third place, the wonderful comforting of the Holy Ghost. A beloved congregation, in this evening hour, then we are called upon to consider the eighth article, which speaks of the person, the giving, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Then we see it in our catechism that there is one Lord's Day concerning the person, and in our Lord's Day only one question and answer. Concerning the work of the Father, more questions and answers, two Lord's Days, Lord's Day number 9 and Lord's Day number 10. Concerning the Son, then already in Lord's Day number 6, there was spoken of the qualifications of the mediator, and then concerning his work, Lord's Day number 11 through number 19. That does not mean that the Holy Spirit, we hope to hear it, that he is not less than the other two persons. It does not mean that his works are less. And concerning the Holy Ghost, then already also in the last two Lord's Days, because the persons in the Trinity, they can never be separated, but they must be distinguished. And then with the ascension of Christ, then there was spoken thirdly that he sends us a Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on earth. Then in Lord's Day number 19, when there was spoken of Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, then in answer 51, thereby renewal, the rich work of the Holy Spirit was spoken of first, that by his Holy Spirit he pours out heavenly graces upon us as members, and then that by his power, and then it speaks further of the work of Christ. Then in the following Lord's days, then there is spoken further of the work of the Holy Spirit and also of the means of grace. And then each time by renewal, the instructors have emphasized the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit. When we think of the name that is given to the third person in the divine essence, the Holy Spirit, in the first place, to separate from the other two persons. When we think of a spirit, they are incorruptible, they are immortal. Also, angels are spirits. And when they have appeared many times to the church, then they have taken the body of a cherubim. When we think of the Spirit, then in certain places in God's Word, then it refers to the whole Trinity, all three persons, one divine essence. Christ has said to that woman of Samaria, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But now in this Lord's Day, then it goes concerning the Holy Spirit. Of course, God in his essence, he is holy, he is perfect. And now the name of Holy Spirit in the first place, to separate from the other two names, in the second place declares that he is holy in his essence, in his perfections, and also in his work. And now concerning the work of the Holy Spirit, then it is also the work of the Spirit to sanctify and to make holy. What believest, what dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? First, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and with the Son. In Lord's Day number 8, there the instructors have spoken of the Trinity, of the three persons, in their properties and in their works. And now in this Lord's Day, then it goes concerning the third person in the divine essence. Then we must never think, boys and girls, that the Holy Spirit, it is true, in the Scripture usually mentioned the third place, but that he is not less glorious than the Father and the Son. And therefore the instructors, they have emphasized that he is true and co-eternal God. Thus the Spirit also from eternity to eternity. We read already in the second verse of our Bible that the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, and also in the last chapter of the Scriptures there is spoken of the Spirit. And not only co-eternal, he is true, that means co-essential. That means that all the attributes, both communicable and incommunicable, and our young people can tell us what those names mean. The communicable, that there is a slight resemblance in man. We shall mention knowledge. Man has knowledge, but God's knowledge is perfect. We may use the example of the sun and a 25-watt light bulb. Then they both give light, but in a certain sense, no comparison. And so it is with those communicable attributes. In God, they are perfect, they are infinite, and also the incommunicable attributes. And now the Spirit proceeds from the Father and from the Son. In the early centuries of the churches, then there has been much debate. A council in 589 examining, because there was a church in those days that have said that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father by the Son, but they did not have the freedom. They thought it was wrong to say that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and from the Son. And therefore, at that council, they have changed that creed to declare, according to the Scriptures, that the Spirit proceeds both from the Father and from the Son, has caused the beginning of a separation between the Western and the Eastern Church, which has come to a climax. Many other matters involved that church has separated in the year 1054. That the Son of God know first that He is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. There are those, we mentioned the Jehovah Witnesses, they deny that the Holy Spirit is a person. They try to tell us that the Spirit is only a power, but it is so clearly declared in the Scriptures that the Spirit is a person. If we would meet a Jehovah Witness and we would point him to 1 John 5 verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Then they would tell us that they do not have that text that is true, that is not in their Bible. When we consider the whole Scriptures, we shall mention just a few points. In John 14 verse 16, after the celebration of the Passover and the Lord's Supper, then Christ has said to His disciples that He would send another Comforter, that clearly points to a person and not a power. In John 14 verse 16, ascend by the Father and by the Son, we do not send a power, but we send a person. In John 16 verse 13, there it is declared that the Spirit shall guide you in all truth. In Romans 8 verse 26, He maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When we read of the sins against the Spirit, then it is clear that He is a person. There is spoken of blasphemy, of vexing the Spirit, lying against the Spirit. Oh, the Apostle Paul has written to the church of grieving the Spirit, has even sent that solemn warning of quenching the Spirit. Of course, in the life of a true child of God, we hope to hear it in our second and third point. Once that Spirit takes up its abode in the heart of a son and daughter of Adam, then that Spirit shall never depart. But oh, when that Spirit is grieved, then that Spirit withdraws that special influence, and then it becomes so barren, and then the vessel becomes so dim. Do we not read in the Lamentations 4 verse 1 that the gold has become dim? Then further, that the Spirit is co-essential and co-eternal God, And that is proved from their names. When Ananias and Sapphira, when they have sold in Acts 5 a piece of property, when they have held a part back and laid it at the feet of the apostles to give the impression that it was the full price. And then Peter has said, when he spoke of the Holy Ghost, thou wast not lied before man, but against God. When we consider the attributes ascribed to God, then they are also ascribed to the Spirit, as the psalmist now declared in Psalm 139, that he could not flee from the Spirit of God. When we consider the works of the Spirit, then already in creation we read that the Spirit is moved upon the face of the waters in Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of heaven by the breath of his mouth. Then concerning his honor, baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the benediction, 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be upon you all. Thus then it is clear, congregation, that the Holy Spirit is true, co-essential, and co-eternal God. And now concerning the work of the Spirit, we have mentioned creation, also providence. I read in Psalm 104:30, thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created, the face of the earth is renewed. Thus the work of the Spirit is manifold. But now in our second thought, we shall speak of the special and the greatest work of the Spirit, the gracious giving of the Holy Ghost. And then we read, secondly, that he has also given me. Concerning the Trinity, then in the Bible we read of the throne of the Father. We read Revelations 4:5. We read of the throne of the Son. But now the wonder that it pleases the Holy Spirit is written in our answer, that he has also given me. When does that take place? That takes place in the moment of regeneration. That work of the Spirit, that is such a supernatural, that is such an astonishing, and that is such a wonderful work. That work is typified. Our first point, boys and girls, that was a difficult point for you to understand. But now our second point, that is simpler. And now in the Scripture, I think you can remember those points. And then the Holy Spirit, his wonderful work, and that is set forth in different ways. In Hosea 15:4, then the Holy Spirit is spoken of as a dew. And when that dew falls, it is true there can be times when it is foggy and misty. But many times it happens, boys and girls, on a cool night, that dew comes on the ground. And now the work of the Spirit is compared to that work. And especially in very dry lands. And that is why it was such a great judgment. in the days of King Ahab, when there would be no rain, and when there also would be no dew. Oh, then when that dew falls so silently during the night watches upon the plants, then they are revived. In other places in the Bible, then the work of the Holy Spirit is set forth as rain. Isaiah 32 verse 15, 44 the verses 3 through 5. And then boys and girls, when you think of a desert, and when it pleases the Lord to pour out those showers, then that desert soon becomes green. As I read in Isaiah 32, then it becomes a fruitful field and is counted even as a forest. On the day of Pentecost, and also in John 3 verse 8, when Nicodemus has come to Christ with many questions, then Christ was given to speak of the wind, that it bloweth, thou seeth it not, but yet it has effect. On the day of Pentecost, then the work of the Spirit was set forth as a mighty wind. Then also in the Scripture, the work of the Spirit is typified with oil, the oil that was placed in the candlestick, and that is given light, thus boys and girls. Then you have four types and four emblems in the Bible to tell us a little of the work of the Holy Spirit as the dew, as the rain, as the wind, and as oil. On the day of Pentecost, let us add also fire, that it warms and that it purifies. And now the instructors, oh, what a rich confession that the instructor was given to declare in our second point, that he, that is the Holy Spirit, and then he is given to mention that he is also, that is the wonder of free and sovereign grace, as the Apostle Paul not written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7, and who maketh thee to differ, and what hast thou received that thou wast not received? Ah, for the church of God, that word also becomes such a wonder, and that word only becomes a greater wonder, that is an also of free and sovereign grace, because that is a people, do we not read in Psalm 14, the verses 2 and 3, that the Lord has looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that understood, if there were any that sought the Lord. And then the Lord has declared that there were none. And then we see the unfathomable love of the Lord. Oh, that word also. Oh, when the church is given to meditate, where the Lord has found them, do we not read in Isaiah 51 verse 2, that we must look to the rock out of which we were hewn? Oh, it is true. The Lord finds him in different places, but he finds them all on that Broadway traveling to hell. Oh, in the time of the Lord's good pleasure, when the Lord draws with those cords of love, when the Spirit is given unto them, when the Spirit takes habitation, do we not read in the epistles of Paul that he has written that the child of God becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, that he is also the one he finds in church in the way of self-righteousness as that rich ruler, another one in the world. Blessed those who he may find early that do not know in aforetime, but that people is also given to experience that he has given me. Oh, it is the same teacher, the same textbook, where the child of God is instructed out of, he is given unto me. And let us never forget that the Spirit uses means by word and by Spirit. It is true. Many times it also pleases the Lord to use providential circumstances together with his word, that the Lord may begin that good work. Should that not be our prayer, congregation? Oh, may we be given to beg that under the solemn callings, the Lord knows what stands ahead of us. The Lord is tired of sin. The Lord is tired of religion. He is punishing the inhabitants of the earth. And we read that the time has come that judgments must begin at the house of God. But may we be given to beg. Then the judgments would be profitable. Then it would be good. When there would be boys and girls, our youth, middle-aged and elderly ones, when they would be given to testify, the Lord has sent his judgments, and he has used it, that at that time, under those judgments, that the Spirit was also given unto me, that he has also given me. And the short answer is not so long. Then we read that word me 4 times. It's such a personal matter. There's a blessing and a privilege. If in the family circles, in the former generations, the Lord has richly worked, and the Lord has promised to work from generation to generation. Sometime he skips a generation, but grace is not inherited. It is such a personal matter. When we read that the instructor says that he has also given me, then what a truth. Whereas then the free will of man, we could mention the examples out of the Bible. The Arminian, with his free will, then he declares that he has power to take the precious things of the Lord, the true Arminian. There are many shades, there are also half Arminians. But now the truth of God's word, away with that free will. Without me ye can do nothing. And that is a truth. That the true child of God is given to experience deeper and deeper. We think of the Bible, whereas now the free will, when we consider the 2 thieves, murderers, that were crucified with Christ, clearly declared in the Scriptures that they have both railed on him. They were ready to drop into hell, and then still to mock, no fear, the hardening of the heart. Then we see that the Lord can send the greatest judgment. And when the Lord leaves us to ourselves, when the Lord takes his common goodness away, that man only becomes harder, that we become as a Pharaoh, who is the Lord, that I should obey him. But he has given unto me the sovereign grace of God concerning that one thief, where he was given to confess that Christ has done nothing amiss, that they were under the righteous judgment, that he has begged for the Lord. Ah, those that declare that man has a free will concerning our soul salvation and concerning the glory of God, let them tell us how it went with the soul, with those letters of persecution, persecuting the church, but then he was felled by free and sovereign grace, that he has also given me to make me by a true faith, the instructors in the catechism, different Lord's days, they use that word true, signifying that there's also faith that is not true and not the saving work of the Holy Spirit. And what a question that can be for many a soul, whether they indeed have that true faith, or whether they have any faith. We can hear it and read it every Sunday. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in God the Holy Ghost. Ah, that people, what a struggles, what a temptation, the arch enemy of their soul, the devil, with 6,000 years experience. Ah, then those souls, how often they are given to beg that the Lord may confirm it. Think of David and Psalm 139 had been on the way to Zion for many years. If there be an evil way with me, lead me on the way everlasting. By a true faith, a partakers of Christ and all his benefits. Do you hear it? The order of Christ and all his benefits. Maybe there are souls that say, but is that now the way that it is experienced in the life of a child of God? First Christ, and then all his benefits. What do you think? Ah, the true child of God shall be able to tell us the proper order. But now when the instructor says Christ and all his benefits, then the instructor is stressing that outside of Christ, the Lord can never look down upon a sinner, and the Holy Spirit shall never work contrary to the other two persons. But now through Christ, through the finished mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, in the state of his humiliation, then there comes a right and a freedom for the Spirit in the moment of regeneration, that the Spirit may take up habitation in a sinner's heart. Thus it is only through Christ. Oh, the Lord can only look down upon sons and daughters of Adam in the Son of his eternal life. But now in the way of experience, when the Spirit, and we hope to hear that in the third thought, oh, that work of the Spirit is so broad. But let us just mention the example, a beautiful type of the work of the Lord in the gathering of his church. Genesis 24. Abraham has received his Isaac. And Isaac needed a bride that the seed may be born. And that servant, it is true, it is not written, but thought to be Eliezer. Then Abram sent him to a far country to seek a bride for Isaac. And then what has Eliezer done? Oh, he has prayed, it is true. And then when he has met Rebekah, then he has given Rebekah many gifts. And then in verse 58, he was finally asked, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And then there was a long journey through the back to the land of Canaan. When the Lord begins, then they are given to receive, it is true, all those gifts. They are merited by Christ. And now when the Lord begins, they receive those precious gifts. Faith, hope, love, many more. And then it is the work of the Spirit with granting those gifts. And when they are instructed that they may be brought to a knowledge of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus for the church of God, the instruction not to be satisfied with the gifts, oh, they are so precious. Nothing in the world compares to the precious gifts which the Spirit grants and works in the heart of a true child of God. But now the necessity we read thereof in John 16 of the precious work of the Spirit, that room may be made in the heart for that precious bridegroom. That is our third thought. But let us first sing. Psalter 389, the stanzas 5 and 6. Lord, save me from my foe. To thee for help I flee. Teach me thy way to know. I have no God but thee. By thy good Spirit led from trouble and distress. And what follows? 389, 5 and 6. of faith in God the Holy Ghost, the glorious person of the Holy Ghost, the gracious giving of the Holy Ghost, and now thirdly, the wonderful comforting of the Holy Ghost. When the instructors say that he may comfort me, then the instructors are not implying that is the only work of the Holy Spirit. In the further Lord's days, then we hope to hear more of that work. And already in this Lord's day, then the instructors have stressed that the work of the Holy Spirit that is to quicken, and also the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to uncover. We read in John 16, verses 8 through 10, that when he has come, he will convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to instruct. He is the teacher. He will guide in all truth. It is the work of the Spirit to witness and to assure. Ah, may the Lord grant in the life of his children those further leadings and that assurance, as we read in Romans 8. It is also the work of the Holy Spirit to sanctify, to make holy. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of prayer and of supplication and of thanksgiving. Then what a great and what a wonderful work that is ascribed to the Holy Spirit. Then our instructors, after they have spoken, that he has also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits. John 16, verse 14, he will glorify me, he will receive of mine and shew it unto you. Thus it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room in the hearts of poor sinners for that precious bridegroom. And now concerning that comfort, what a need there is in the life of the true child of God for that comfort. In the first place, because of that awful God-dishonoring unbelief. And the child learns that of self, they can bring forth nothing but unbelief. Then in the second place, because of the devil, what a trouble that the devil gives to a child of God. What a questions. What an assault, and many times even that he mocks. They need that comfort on account of that corrupt flesh. They need comfort on account. What a contrary and what a mysterious providences there can be, there shall be. Because it is written in the Bible, the life of the true child of God, many afflictions, 10 days of tribulations, read the history of the saints in the scriptures, what a trials and what a troubles. Think of Psalm 73, Asaph, when he looked at the wicked, it seemed that they had no difficulties, no troubles, And oh, when Asaph could not bow under it, his trouble was there every morning. Then he stood in need of that comfort. The Apostle Paul has written in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6, "Nevertheless God comforteth those that are cast down. Ah, the Lord knows who are His, and how it is the work of the Spirit to comfort His child each time by renewal." What a privilege and a blessing when the Spirit grants His true child a broken and a humble heart. What a blessing, what a comfort when they may receive that opening at the throne of grace, that they may experience that the Lord indeed hears their prayer. What a comfort when the Lord grants special tokens in the way of God's providence. What a comfort when a child of God may receive a little instruction concerning the way that the Lord holds with His children, that they may hear their name mentioned. But above all, that comfort lies herein, that room may be made for the precious things of the Lord in His saving work, that, as it were, that that cabinet of grace may be opened, that they may be given to behold the riches that Christ has merited for His church. When the Spirit grants those longings, those desires, then that special comfort lies herein. When we think of the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for his love is better than wine." In chapter 2, verse 4, "He has brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love." And then it is the work of the Holy Spirit, as did Eliezer of old, not only to grant those gifts, to allure that people, and that they may be given to make that good choice, but all through that desert, what a way it was for Rebecca to go through that desert many a day, many a night, but eventually to bring him to the tent of Isaac, that he may comfort me and abide me forever. Christ has said in John 10, verse 28, "I give unto them eternal life, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand." The psalmist has prayed in Psalm 138, verse 8, that the Lord shall never forsake the work of His own hands. And now when the instructor says, "Abide with me forever," when we read the epistles of Paul to the church, then how often they are admonished, oh, it is a truth, an unchangeable truth, a firm truth, that has its foundation in the election of the Father, the purchase of the Son, and the irresistible and loving work of the Holy Spirit. But what an admonishment in the Scripture to the church, that they grieve not the Spirit, that shall bring darkness upon them. When we think of David in Psalm 51, after he has fallen so deeply, then he has prayed in verse 11, "Cast me not out of thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, concerning the work of the Spirit, we have read together out of 1 Corinthians 2, then in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. But then in a few verses further, then there is a separation. Oh, in verse 13, which things also we speak, and not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How often and the closer that the child may live with the Lord, the more that the child may be bound to the throne of grace, then how often they are given to compare spiritual things with spiritual, of former days, how it was then, and how it is now, concerning what the Lord has spoken and the fulfillment thereof. But now verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And now concerning verse 12, when there is spoken, and now we have not received the spirit of the world, then in our Dutch marginal notes, then they are given to explain the spirit of the world in this way, the spirit that teacheth worldly things, that find enjoyment and happiness in worldly things. Thus, congregation, then we can examine our hearts, where we are traveling to, whether we still have the spirit of the world, or whether by free and sovereign grace we have received the Spirit of Christ. Where do we find our happiness? Where do we find our greatest happiness? Not to despise the many good things which the Lord grants unto us and our children. But let me ask you, can you find your true happiness? Are you still seeking your happiness in the things here below? Or has it become different? Have we received the Holy Spirit, that we have become seekers, that we have become God-seekers, and in the further uncovering, that we need that precious mediator? There are two ways, young and old. We are traveling to eternity, and when in short, we have tried to say a few things. Ah, the rich, the loving, the irresistible, the broad work of the Spirit. May we be given to examine ourselves, and may we be given to beg for that work also in the solemn times, under the judgments of the Lord, that our prayer may be with the bride of old, awake, O north wind, and come thou south wind, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, the precious work of the Spirit. That is a work that each and every one, from the youngest to the oldest, stands in need of. A word that work is still missed. May it please thee to grant it. And where thou hast begun, well, to grant that further instruction and those further leadings. Oh, we have heard from the bride her request that the spices may flow forth. Oh, Lord, we may commence another week. May it please thee to graciously watch over us. Oh, place a fiery wall round about us. Keep us from sin and temptation, if it may please thee. Grant to the family circle strength, health, happiness, and contentness under all the different circumstances of life. May we be given oftentimes to come at thy throne of grace and to beg of thee for thy help here for the timely things, but above all what is necessary for that never-ending eternity. May it please thee to graciously provide for the daily bread for our families. There are many already in this province that have lost their employment. Well, thou also remember them. Then we commend by renewal unto thee the mourning family when they are called to go to the cemetery. Lord, wilt thou remember and wilt thou uphold? Then we also remember an old father and old mother when thou grantest it that in this week that thou was spared, that thou was kept for 62 years in the bond of holy matrimony. Lord, they are frail, they are weak. Thou was spared them hitherto, and may it please thee to grant a low place at thy footstool. Well, to grant a humble heart, above all may it please thee to grant the precious work of thy Holy Spirit. For thee there is nothing too wonderful. Well, thou so remember young and old. Also in this week, well, thou keep us from harm and danger. Well, thou now remember us in the furtherance of this night. And well, thou also bring us together in this week, when we hope to remember, oh, a few, and the rest may listen along, to remember the death of thy dear son, that a church may be saved. Well, thou grant prayer and exercises to that end. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 107, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My end, Lord, make me know my days, how soon they fail, and to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail, and what follows. Psalter 107, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.